welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com, where we also have several more previous videos and audios regarding the upcoming signs in the heavens. Today, we're going to talk about our newest discovery, or the newest confirmation that we believe we have been shown by Abba with regards to the upcoming signs in the heavens, pointing to some type of major event or events in the United States of America, as well as around the world. We were recently sent an article from someone with regard to there being supposedly two partial eclipses, solar eclipses, over Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon before its fall in 539 BCE or 538 BCE. But this article said there were two partial solar eclipses over ancient Babylon 7 years before its fall and then the same year of its fall. Before we share anything, we try to confirm that it is all correct. And I'm going to show you what we found with regards to solar eclipses near or over Babylon, near or around or within 7 to 10 years of 539 BCE. We did find a partial solar eclipse near Babylon 7 years prior to 539 BCE, but we did not find any solar eclipse anywhere near Babylon in 539 or 538 BCE. So that turned out not to be correct according to the solar canon that we use. However, what we did find is absolutely incredible. So that's what I'm going to share with you today, along with what we believe may be signs in the heavens described in Revelation chapter 1 that will take place February 2025. So stay tuned to the very end of this. We're going to use Stellarium, which I'm not real experienced in using, but we're just going to throw this out there. And then those of you that are more experienced with Stellarium can take this and run with it and maybe contact us and we can do a program together if you find any merit to these signs in the heavens pointed to in Revelation chapter 1. So let's get started. First, I wanted to confirm when Babylon actually was conquered by Cyrus the Great. And right here at wikipedia.org, it says, in October of 539 BCE, after the Battle of Opis, the Persian army made entry into the capital city of Babylon. So 539 BCE, or thereabouts, was indeed the fall of Babylon when the Persian Empire took over. So 7 years prior to October 539 BCE would be October 546 BCE. And here we have one over here on the right-hand side of the screen that was October 23rd, 546 BCE. And you can see over here that Babylon would have been in 60% darkness. This is where Babylon is. So not very dark, but indeed there was a partial total solar eclipse 7 years prior to the fall of Babylon. However, we did not find one in 539 BCE or 538 BCE when Babylon actually fell to King Cyrus. What we did find in 541 BCE was an annular eclipse that went across through Egypt, the Sinai Peninsula, and I'll make it bigger, and went very near to Mount Sinai, which is what I have pointed out here is Mount Sinai. Here's the annular eclipse, 541 BCE. Another annular solar eclipse in 533 BCE over the southern part of the Sinai Peninsula and the northern part of the Red Sea, which is interesting. And another annular solar eclipse in 531 BCE, also over the Red Sea. So you look at these two, 533 and 531. And here's Babylon for the 533 one. It was 71% dark. And 531, it was 86% dark in Babylon on these two, which both went over the Red Sea, very near to Mount Sinai. But what I found even more interesting, starting in 545 BCE, which would have been 7 years before the fall of Babylon, if it fell in 538 because these websites for the solar canon dating can be off a year depending on how they dealt with the year zero. So that's why I always search within a year of the actual supposed date. So here's April 18th, 545 BCE. We have an annular or ring of fire solar eclipse just south of North America. And then 544 BCE, 1 year later, April 7th, we have another annular ring of fire solar eclipse just north of the United States through Canada. Then 542 BCE, August 11th, we have another annular ring of fire eclipse that goes through Alaska and ends in western United States. Then 1 year later in 540, January 25th, we have another annular eclipse that starts in the eastern United States. And then we come to the year 538 BCE, May 31st, the year that Babylon actually could have fallen, we have a total solar eclipse right through the middle of the United States. Notice where it enters the United States and where it exits the United States. It enters on the West Coast in Oregon and exits on the East Coast in Delaware. We're going to do a close-up to see exactly where it enters and exactly where it exits the United States in 538 BCE in just a minute. But let's go to 537 BCE, where we have another total solar eclipse, November 12th, just south of Mexico. And then 2 years later, 535 BCE, another annular solar eclipse, March 28th, that goes just north of the United States. Could all of these total and annular solar eclipses going all the way around and through the United States during the time of the fall of Babylon in 538 BCE be connecting the fall of Babylon to the eclipses going through the United States in 2017 through 2024? Are these eclipses a sign connecting the fall of the original Babylon with the fall of end times Babylon? If you haven't already seen our previous video and listened to our previous audios on this topic, please visit www.hiswordheals.com and click on our blog page to see and listen to all of those programs to catch you up to speed. Let's recap in a more speedy fashion so that you can see how incredible this pattern is that takes place within a 7 to 10 year time period over which or during which the fall of the original Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon, took place. Here's 545 BCE, 544 BCE, 542 BCE, 540 BCE, 538 BCE, 537 BCE, and 535 BCE. I don't know if you can draw a circle around the United States and North America any better than that. But now let's take a closer look at the total solar eclipse going across the entire United States in 538 BCE. There it is. And here's a close-up where it enters the United States. Interesting. Here's Salem, Oregon. And here's where 538 BCE total solar eclipse enters just south of Salem, Oregon. To put this in perspective, let's compare this 538 BCE total solar eclipse over the United States entering the United States just south of Salem to the 2017 total solar eclipse that entered right over Salem and the October 2023 annular solar eclipse that entered the United States just below Salem again. Let's look at these three fast again. 538 BCE, 2017, and 2023. Again, could this be Yahweh, our Creator's way of connecting the fall of ancient Babylon and the eclipses that occurred over and around the United States during a 10-year time period surrounding the fall of ancient Babylon with the fall of modern day Babylon and the eclipses taking place across the United States between 2017 and 2024. But wait, before you answer that question, look at where it leaves the United States in 538 BCE. Wow, look at this. Goes over Chicago and right over Washington, D.C., and out through Delaware and Maryland. right over Washington, D.C., 538 BCE, entered near Salem, Washington, and exits right over Washington, D.C., 538 BC, when ancient Babylon was conquered by King Cyrus. I don't know about you, but that gives me goosebumps. Now let's look at Revelation 1. Could most of Revelation, or a lot of Revelation, or at least the first chapter of Revelation, actually be describing a sign in the heaven or signs in the heaven? Just as you can see here, Revelation 12, we all know about the woman with the great wonder in heaven. She was clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And I believe it was 2017 when many people believe that this sign did appear in the heaven with a crown upon the woman's head of 12 stars, etc. So if that could be a sign in the heaven, which it very well could be, could there be other signs in the heaven in Revelation that are actually hidden, such as Revelation chapter 1, scrolling down, starting in verse 9, says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Yeshua Messiah, was on the isle called Patmos for the word of Elohim and for the testimony of Yeshua Messiah. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, which would be on Shabbat, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. I never even really paid attention to how many planets there were before, but I recently heard someone compare the seven churches of Revelation to the seven planets' attributes. And that planted the seed in my mind that perhaps the seven planets are seven candlesticks in Revelation chapter 1. Yes, the seven candlesticks are the seven churches, but are they also represented by seven planets in the heavens as a sign in the heavens? And so I went searching to see if that was possible, because besides the Earth, there are seven other planets in our solar system. And so I looked up to see what the Greek word behind candlesticks was and see if it could possibly point to planets. And it is G3087 from G3088, a lamp stand, literally or figuratively, a candlestick. Well, let's go to 3088. From the base of 3022, a portable lamp or other illuminator, literally or figuratively. So basically, candlestick is a portable luminary. Planets are portable or movable luminaries, are they not? And then after I looked this up, I remembered hearing that there were going to be an alignment of like four planets, five planets. I've been hearing of all of these possible alignments of the planets. So I went online to look up and see if there would be an alignment of all seven planets anytime in the near future. Also, I had someone today, as a matter of fact, send me somebody else's article that said all seven planets would be aligned, but they said they would all be aligned on April 8th for the total solar eclipse. However, I had already looked them up, and all seven planets will be aligned possibly on April 8th. However, you will not be able to see them all in the sky at the same time. So to me, what I found previously was much more relevant in the fact that all seven planets would be aligned and visible in the night sky all at one time on February 28th, 2025. Here on starwalk.space, and if you go down to about 3/4 of the way down, here's a list of the next planetary alignments that feature 5 to 7 planets. April 20th, 24 only has 5 in alignment, but then you go down here to February 28th, 2025, and all 7 of the planets will be visible in the sky at one time. So that is the very next time that all 7 planets will be visible at one time in the night sky. February 28th, 2025. Of course, I looked that up on the Hebrew calendar, and that is the eve of the first day of Adar. And of course, the month of Adar is the month of Purim, and 2025, in the month of Adar, on the day of Purim, we have a blood moon over the United States. And then again in 2026, there is also a full blood moon on Purim. So this is starting to get more significant. So then I decided to go and try out Stellarium, the online program where you can look at all of the stars and the rotation of the planets and the constellations. I'm by far, as I told you earlier, not an expert in Stellarium. Perhaps Revelation chapter 1 in code, based upon the signs in the heaven, is telling us when to expect the book of Revelation to begin unfolding. Because the book of Revelation is all about the revealing of Yeshua Messiah, of course. And so in the very first chapter, perhaps John is telling us through his vision that were actually visions of things going on in the heavens of what those signs would be when the revealing of Yeshua Messiah to the entire world begins to come to fruition. Before we go to Stellarium, let's read Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, or seven portable luminaries, and in the midst of the seven portable luminaries, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Keep in mind these descriptions as we read. So the Son of Man was in the midst of the seven portable luminaries with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. A garment down to the foot, I think, could mean that he is covered, or these candlesticks are in darkness. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in its strength. So that pretty much ends the description of what John sees in this vision. And then Yeshua talks to him. But for the purposes of this message, we're going to just compare the description that John sees with the planets and the constellations as they are aligned in the sky, February 28th, 2025, when all seven planets are visible in the night sky at one time. So for that, let's go to Stellarium. Okay, here is stellarium-web.org, and I'm going to show you around real quick first. Here we have a view of the sky from Jerusalem. You can also do the view of the sky from the United States. And over here is the time that we're viewing it. And here it says dawn, like early in the morning. And so that would be 8:31 in the morning. I think this is U.S. time, actually mountain time, where I'm located. But it does show the sky in Jerusalem, what it'll look like at our time. It doesn't show their time. So in the morning here, it's the evening in Jerusalem. So just keep that in mind. It's not actually dawn, and this is not the right time. But the view that we're looking at is the evening in Jerusalem. And you can tell because here's west. The sun is setting right here to the west, and here is east. So this is the view of the evening sky in Jerusalem on February 28th. It is a new moon. As I said, it's the evening of the first day of Adar, Erev Adar 1. And so right here actually is the moon. You can see a little crescent here where it probably will be visible. But this dot right here is actually Saturn, okay? So you have to click back and forth because it won't put both names up at the same time. But you can see here's the sun, here's the moon, and here is Saturn. And I actually had to do a search for Neptune because we're not zoomed in enough to actually see the dot for Neptune. But here you can see I put Neptune up there. It popped up here and it's putting the mark for Neptune right here next to Mercury. So again, this is Saturn. This is Mercury. Here's Neptune. There's Venus. There's Uranus. Jupiter, and Mars. So they're all in a line straight up from the sun, essentially. So that's all seven planets that should be visible sundown on February 28th, 2025. So now let's look at where these are appearing and how they could be representative of the seven golden candlesticks or mobile luminaries, portable luminaries, that Yeshua is standing amongst. He's in the midst of. Let's stand this line of luminaries up. Looks like I'm going to have to make the sun go down a little further to try and make the very top one, Mars, fit. And it still won't be straight up and down on my screen. So the sun went down there. So how could this be a picture of Yeshua in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, the seven portable luminaries? We're going to start in verse 15, which says that he has feet of fine brass refined in a furnace. So at the very bottom of this alignment of planets, what do we have? We're going to uncover the landscape. At the very bottom, we have the sun. Could that be describing feet of fine brass refined in a furnace? The burning of the sun at the very bottom. We'll put the landscape back. Also in verse 15, it says a voice sound of many as of many waters. Okay, so let's move up from there. Actually, let's uncover the sun again. What's down here? What is the constellation the sun is in? It's in Aquarius. Aquarius is a water constellation. Put the landscape back. But it says voice of many waters. Cetus is a whale, so it's in the sea. Pisces is a constellation of fish, again another water constellation, and Eridanus is actually a river. This constellation is a river. So we have many waters down here in the same verse, verse 15, that says feet of fine brass refined in a furnace. So we have the sun and then we have many waters, both in verse 15. I'm going to make this a full screen. Maybe we can see better. Again, if we start down here with the feet of brass, the sun, as refined in a fire, we have the crescent moon of the new moon, the first day of the month. We have Saturn here by the moon, Mercury, and of course by Mercury again is Neptune, which we can't see unless we do a search here. Then we have Venus, Uranus, Jupiter, and Mars, all seven planets in a row with the sun at the feet. And the first four are in constellations of many waters. Okay, that was verse 15 of Revelation 1. Let's move up the constellation and go to Revelation 1:16. In his right hand, he held seven stars. So here we see Jupiter. And we see Pleiades here to the right of Jupiter, and Jupiter is in the constellation Taurus. And Pleiades is one of the first things that I found in this alignment of seven planets, seven portable luminaries, to match up and get me excited about going further, because I did a search for constellation with seven stars. And what came up was the Pleiades, facts about the Seven Sisters star cluster. The Pleiades is a bright star cluster and popular sky-watching target, and it appears as seven stars clustered together, even though it's many, many more stars. So back to Revelation 1:16, in his right hand he holds seven stars. Well, Jupiter is the king planet, and so I believe it represents Yeshua. It can represent Yeshua, who is in Taurus right here in the midst of the seven planets, the seven portable luminaries, and to the right of Jupiter, could be in his right hand, are seven stars of Pleiades. I'm sorry, we're all out of time today, but you can watch the entire video at www.hiswordheals.com/blog, B-L-O-G, or just go to hiswordheals.com and click on our blog page. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.
It's time to arise. No longer bound by fear, his kingdom's drawing near. This is our time to arise.